Such as daughters of the Son of God, of the Son of Heaven, on the top of the mountain, in an orbit called Sambutsari, encircling Mount Meru. The sun's path on the northern side is called Uttarayana, and its path on the southern side is called Dakshinayana. One side represents a day for the demigods, and the other represents their night. Perform. The movement of the sun is confirmed in the Brahma Sutra of 52. Asya, Daya, Brahmati Samyutta, Kala, Chakra, the sun orbits around Mount Sumeru for 6 months on the northern side and for 6 months on the southern. This adds up to the duration of the day and night of the demigods in the upper planetary systems. Text 31. The ruler of the sun, the sun of Maharaj Priyavata, named Vidhiputra, Vidhiputra. There are two sons named Ramanaka and Dhatiki. He granted the two sons and called them to his two sons, and then first engaged himself in activities for the sake of supreme personality Godhead, like his elder brother, Mithatiki. And one more verse before this one, text 32. For the fulfillment of material desires, the inhabitants of this tract of now worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as represented by Lord Brahma. They offer prayers to the Lord as follows, this prayer here. And the translation of the prayer. Lord Brahma is known as Karmamaya, form of ritualistic ceremonies, because by performing ritualistic ceremonies one may attain his position, and because of that, ritualistic hymns become manifest from him. That's the information. He is devoted to the personality, supreme personality of Godhead, without deviation, and therefore, in one sense, he is not different from the Lord. That's this account of the Bhagavan. And Prabhupada has an extra sentence. It's not within the verse itself, but it's within it, so it's present. Nevertheless, he should not be worshipped as the monists worship him, but in duality. Meaning, this is an emphasis upon the non-dual, so we should bear in mind there's also simultaneously difference. One different and different simultaneously. Last part. One should always remain the servitor of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Worshipable Deity. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Brahma, the form of manifest light knowledge. And that's this Lingam Brahma Lingam in the verse. It's the form of manifest light knowledge. And purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word karma mayam, parentheses, quote, attainable by the Vedic ritualistic system, unquote, is significant. The Vedas say, karma nishtita, shatta, janmati, kumam, kumir, satam, kaiti. One who, translation, one who strictly follows the principles of Varnashram Dharma from at least 100 births, you'll be rewarded with the post of Lord Ramana, unquote. That's a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, in the Bible, just a moment. His reference is because of the verse, his reference to something from the previous canto. This also takes significance that although Lord Ramana is extremely powerful, he never thinks himself any of the supreme personality in Godhead. He always knows that he's the eternal servitor of the Lord, because the Lord and the servant are identical on the spiritual platform. Ramana is herein addressed as Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna, and his devotee serves him with full faith. The meaning of that Vedic literature is revealed to him. Therefore, Brahma is called Brahmalinga, which indicates that his entire form consists of Vedic knowledge. Something that Michael Chumash spoke in his great class. This fifth canto, his husband said, great learned Vaishnavas, that it's a trap. It's by design intended to protect the later cantos, particularly the tenth canto. Speculate the people because they won't get beyond this. They'll speculate their brains out trying to understand this subject matter and wish to dismiss it. And therefore dismiss the whole literature and therefore not get into the realm of offending with speculative methods. Krishna's confidential pastimes. And the further cantos as well, the preceding cantos, following this fifth canto. In other words, the subject matter is Devesu Duralabham Abduralabham Atmabhakti. Simply by empiric study of the Vedas, the subject matter of Krishna, which includes the subject matter of Krishna's creation, is far beyond the capacity of speculative scholars to understand, and even deliberately the language is such that speculation can't touch it. According to directly, so the Prabhupada presents in the purport here, which is the position of Lord Brahman, and he makes reference to this verse from its canto 4, chapter 24, text 29, the song given by Stotras prayers. Given by Lord Shiva to the protectors, the sons of King Pratini Party, before they enter into the sea to perform austerity so they could have good the capacity for good prajna. Lord Shiva is very pleased with them, with this very unique quality of being very submissive to their the instruction of their father, pleased by them. This quality. He presents himself and gives him prayers which he himself recites, and this is one of them. Sadharma Nishtha Shatta Jamabhi Puman Vinir Tatam Aiti, etc. which Prabhupada's translation from the Bhagavatam reads. A person who executes his occupational duty properly, Prabhupada sometimes says flawlessly, helping effort a moment or an hour or daily, not to speak of a lifetime, not to speak of 100 lifetimes flawlessly, perfectly executing all your prescribed duties, whichever the order of your question, situation, or find yourself. When you can do that, become qualified to occupy the post of Brahmacharya. The next part of the verse goes on and says, and if it becomes more qualified, it can approach Lord Shiva, which means the Lord of Lord Shiva, as we know from Brahma Samhita, is beyond Devadhyam. The Lord of Lord Rama is within Devadhyam. The Devadhyam of Lord Shiva becomes the Toshi Toshi. In hierarchy, Devadhyam, the Vaishvam, Devadhyam, the Lokadhyam. So above the realm of Lord Rama, is Shiva Loka. And that's a whole discussion. But just as far as this verse, he is being appreciated in prayer by the residents of this island, where the law is being appreciated. Karma Mayam. Karma Mayam. Prabhupada is indicating here. He is the word for word. Attainable by the Vedic ritualistic system. Specific. Is for the purpose, when the previous verse, for the purpose of ritual elevation. So the karma conception of the Vedas. Of course, all the Vedas are manifest by Lord Brahma, and it's so twofold. From his mouth, he manifests them, so therefore he is the lingam, Brahma lingam, he is the form of Vedic knowledge. His whole body, the purport says, is constituted of Vedic knowledge. And the second is, his post is obtainable or attainable to one who, for 100 lifetimes, perfectly performs those ritualistic procedures found within the Vedas. So the ritualistic procedures within the Vedas are for material elevation, but they have, of course, their higher purpose. Higher helpful purposes to come closer and closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we can take them directly to the service. That's our understanding as Vaishnavas. That's the purpose of this karma conception of Vedas. And so, therefore, we're enjoined in the Vedic commandments as against the chanting of the Holy Name is to not minimize or blaspheme that section of the Vedas. We recognize it's not the highest, but we shouldn't denigrate it either. Its purpose is for higher elevation, ultimately to come to the position through association with those who are carrying bhakti, to qualify them to come to the ultimate position. The residents here are understanding their Brahma in that way. Because of that confidential position that he has, Lord Brahma has as the presenter of this uplifting gift to society, all the rituals for them and all their duties and performing all their duties, etc., found within the Vedic knowledge. He is honored self-initiation, and that earth-centered, sun-centered, and then technology advanced, and then built these folks that changed, you know, closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to what's the basic number of the distance between the earth and the sun. And now with the telescopes mounted on spaceships that fly around and take pictures and send images back to the observatory, the number is coming closer and closer to the atomic number. They're getting closer to the atomic number. Just numerically. But two things. One thing is, how did the Vedic wisdom have that number? Because they didn't have technology, they didn't have spacecraft, and they didn't have double telescopes, and they didn't have all kinds of stuff. So how did they get that number? How did they get that number? It wasn't through technology, it wasn't through sense perception, it wasn't through anomaly or speculation, it was through Shelter. Shelter Kaman, that's how they get the number. And Shelter Kaman, our teaching is Shelter Kaman is the best Kaman, the best means of knowing something. We take this in the Arabic and we understand that the compelling reasons why in detail by David Oswami. Shelter Kaman is the best. It's our position. So, the number that modern, it's just a detail, like 92 million miles distance today is the number between the Earth and the Sun. And without the detail, the Yojana calculation brings about the same number, and it depends upon the factor. Commonly in the Bhagavatam, we hear 1 Yojana equals 8 miles, of the rates of repeatedly. In Siddhanta Shirama, it's 5 miles equals 1 Yojana. So, we do that the Yojana number times 8 and the Yojana number times 5, then 93 is 94 miles. Similarly, in this section that we're reading, in this little section, in this group of verses, it's describing a motion of the sun in relation to the earth. And then in subsequent sections, we're going to hear about the motion of the earth in relation to the sun. Let's do like this. There's the Earth, and we know from Hittite science it's tilted on the axis, 23.5 degrees, when researching the Earth. So, because the Earth is tilted on the axis of 23.5 degrees, and it spins once in a day, we have the experience, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. In 24 hours, it rises in the east and sets in the west. That's one motion of the sun in relation to the earth. But there's another motion of the sun in relation to the earth. And that other motion is in the summer season, it rises in a more northerly direction than just the east. And in the winter, a more southern direction than the summer. So it's a more northerly direction. That is, the sun is moving in relation to the earth. It's observable. And the language of the Bhagavatam describes those two motions, the earth in relation to the sun. It's just a sun-centered picture. Here's the earth and the axis, and it's moving around the sun. Once in a
24 hours, the wheel, 100 meters. Relative motion.
attention is going to be an absolute picture of this. Is it plus or is it bad? Is it sun-centered or earth-centered? And I said, well, before the motion of another faith and one question, which I know, I'll give you one answer, which is, it's earth-centered. But really, it doesn't matter, because your system of sun-centered, and if you compare it to this sun-centered model, the numbers also work. You said, no, no, it's got to be one or the other. It can't be both or all three. So, it's a system of describing planets within the cosmic manifestation. There are 10 subject matters. We go back to Canto 2, chapter 10. The first verse is, it says there's 10 subject matters. And then we have to go to the 12th canto, it's listed again. And one of those 10 subject matters, and we know that they're in, is this. Structure of the universe. Mahaprabhu is describing it. This is the description, the definition of Bhagavatam, which is a brain teaser for spiritual leaders. Because they can't understand it. Again, referring, in our teaching, we can't understand these subject matters by that method. At the state of the mind, the state of the mind, just keep going, never reach. It's not accessible that way. It's descending knowledge. So we need qualified people to teach this descending knowledge. I was just reading transcriptions of the devotees discussing these subject matters with Prabhupada after the fifth canto was published. Some of the Prabhupada disciples in the room will remember when they handed the suit when the fifth canto came out, and people were like, whoa, what is all this about? So many questions, and Prabhupada said, in one case, I took the opportunity to directly confront the number one obstacle in presenting the teachings of devotion to Krishna, and that is the blind faith that people have in material science. I directly challenged them. He made challenging statements purposefully to shake the foundation of our blind faith in modern science. And the science says that it must be true, right? That's the paradigm that we grow up in. The scientists say that it must be true. It does not make spoon fed sense. Material science gets shaken by a great extent of all that is not true. It's where our faith goes. Prabhupada had to challenge that. Uproot it. Smash it. And instructed us that unqualified persons and unqualified ways, many qualified ways, and part of the mystery of the temple of the Vedic planetarium is precisely to do that. Precisely to do that. Here is this very ancient wisdom where there was no technology, and it had this fascinating and apparently accurate depiction of the universe. How did they get that? So those people that go, oh, rubbish, will have to say, you know, wait a minute, maybe there's some rubbish. I just have this one other thing. I recall discussing this with some people that I read in one of these practical articles, where sometime in European history, European scholarship was taking an interest in the Vedas, Germany and England mention some of the process in particular. As scholars coming to India and going, wow, look at this, what a wisdom. And there were some other people with vested interest that said, well, wait a minute, in particular, the religious vested interest, saying, we can't have people say the Vedas are so good. And so there was a particular intellectual pushback amongst Christian intellectuals who didn't like the interest in the Vedas. And they went on a tour, a campaign, that there was names in the circle, I can't remember the names, Breslau or something like the Spanish name, saying rubbish. And in time, two things will demonstrate, because they're just like in this canto, there's numerical or empirical information about cosmology, and there's empirical information about archaeology. And as archaeology advances, and as Western cosmology advances, we'll put this Vedic thing into rest. No intellectual worth is sought with that interest in it. They were like, heavily invested in it. So the Darwinian confrontation was one of those. Of course, Vedic scholars have taken the time and the trouble with the karma, and there are so many other Vaishnavas devotees, Vaishnava devotees, and others have made strong attempts to dismiss the assumptions of Darwinian evolution, particularly chemical evolution. And I think that this work of the empirical depiction of cosmology is another super important, measurable, that means empiric, measurable with the senses, and with these instruments that are extensions of the senses, to take a look at the Vedic picture of how does it work. So the work of the Vedic Panchakarma is fantastically important to win, of course it's supposed to provoke people as well, to win for those honest intellectuals who look at the Vedic model, see this type of fortune, and make them repeat the message of the Bible time. And of course we'll see the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Thunder tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock. We'll end there. I'm sure we can have some nice discussion if you don't talk too much. Thank you very much. I'll probably come back to you. Thank you.